This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Such a pleasure to be here with you this morning. Does feel we're getting into that weird time of year where it is a little bit groundhoggy, you know, a little bit Groundhog Day every day. And that's just to be expected. So hopefully it's not that for you. Hopefully you still enjoy listening to the program. If it's any indication by our YouTube numbers, then you definitely do, because it's just been crazy. You can watch us on YouTube at youtube.com, search Ben and Woods. You'll see our little page up there, and you can weigh in on the chat. Certainly, we're available to you via the telephone here or via Twitter. There's a Twitch stream for Ben and Woods. There's all kinds of ways that you can get us inside of you every single morning. And, man, we got some dedicated tier ones that lock in at 6 and don't leave till we're done at 10. And it's just amazing to me that happens. So thank you guys for your loyal support. And we love you very much. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Rindel, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Great. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins as well. Benjamin, how are you?
I'm good. You just triggered a memory for me when you said different ways that we can get inside of you. I thought for you, Darvish, for a second.
That brings up a lot of memories for me, too.
And I realize I had a dream last night.
I've had those dreams.
I've had those dreams. Darvish. Well, I was actually
haven't had that dream.
I'm trying to remember it now. It was pretty vivid and realistic. We were, for some reason, we were doing a live remote on the Las Vegas Strip. It was you, me, and Paulie.
Sexy.
But Adam was there, and you, Darvish, was there with us as well. And I remember, for some reason, we had like climbed down the steps, like from the hotel, to get down toward the strip. And you, Darvish, jumped over like the wall. I followed him. Adam wouldn't go. He wanted to go the long way around. But I just followed you. I trusted him.
You hopped the fence.
I did. I hopped the fence with you because I trusted him. Where he led, I wanted to go. So I followed him, and then we set up the remote, and he was there with us. And I don't know why I had that dream. What do you think that dream means? I don't remember ever having any other dreams about you, Darvish, before, but this was just last night.
Put your light on, number one. We want to see your pretty face. Number two, I think that you trust you, Darvish, and I think that's what it boils down to.
Felt like it,
I think you trust him.
I mean, it felt pretty clear what the message was there. I trust you, Darvish.
Here's the other thing. I don't think you trust Adam.
Maybe not.
I think Adam might represent that snake in the Dodgers dugout.
He wasn't trying to lead me astray necessarily. I don't think he trusted you, Darvish, the way I trusted you.
But he also didn't go with you, which means that he doesn't have your back. That's kind of what I would read into it. And based on recent events, you know, you never know. Does he have your back?
Hey. Can we just go up to the crosswalk?
Hey, I don't think this is very smart to be jumping fences out here.
There's a pedestrian bridge. 2 blocks away.
I'm not paying for any sort of trespassing or jaywalking ticket. I can do entire hours of just being Adam. It really delights me to no end. Hey, there's a crosswalk up there, you. I don't want to get in trouble from the
Padres.
Personally,
I lean more toward the Adam. I don't want to pay for a crosswalk violation or a jaywalking ticket either. But with you, Darvish, there, I felt safe. Like, I could follow him and go, and it would be okay. And it was. It really was.
When we did that bit of Adam in Vegas, I almost peed my pants. But he was like, hit me.
Can I split those?
15 again.
Re-raise. He throws his chips in. I'm not kidding, you guys. Every single conversation I have with that man these days, is that's what he sounds like. It's the sigh first. I'll call him. Hello? Hi. Hi. You need something? Yeah. What's up with this email, right? So, whatever. Or if he calls me, I'm like, hey, hello. Am I bothering you? I'm like, stop! Yeah, I was,
hey, do you have a second?
Now, to be fair, I think you have him a little on edge sometimes. That may be more just for you, the sigh, than me. I don't feel like I get the sigh quite as heavily as you get the sigh.
I feel like he should just start putting it in his emails. Like, just in asterisk, sigh. Oh. Hey, everybody.
You know how, like, everybody's signature is always like,
yeah,
regards or his is best wishes, comma. His is just sigh, comma. Adam Klug.
Dude, he kills me so much, man. He kills me, man. He absolutely kills me.
Oh,
he's something else, that dude. He is something. He is something. Something else. Split. Gambling Adam will never not make me laugh, dude.
10 on red.
They spin the roulette wheel and just double zeros. Nobody ever bets that. It just kills you. Just kills me every time. Yeah, that's where we're at today. Hey, I wanted to wish a very happy birthday to my beloved mother-in-law, Susie Nancaro Glenn. I don't know how old she's turning today. I would not even attempt to guess. It doesn't matter. She's very young at heart, and came over yesterday and said hello. And she's awesome, man. Great. You couldn't ask for a better mother-in-law. Didn't always think it was going to be that way. Did not think that she and I were going to be pals for life.
You weren't good enough for her daughter.
No.
At the very beginning.
No question. I'll never forget the first time I met her, ever. She put me in literally backed me into a corner, and I'm in the corner. And she is reading me the riot act. Just crushing me.
Well, she had the tough job of also, you know, filling the role of the dad, too.
Right.
Because of, you know, the tragic passing of her first husband, Lauren Nancaro.
Yeah.
So she had to be like the tough, like, okay, I got to make sure that this.
Yes.
This guy who wants to, you know, date and ask for my daughter's hand in marriage is going to be good enough for her and take care of her.
That's exactly right. So she absolutely, me and her, years ago would bang heads, and now when I see her, it's just such a different feeling and a different vibe, and I love her very much, very much, and she loves me, and it's a really nice feelings. Mother-in-laws can be tough, man. Mother-in-law, the in-law scene can be a little bit dicey, you know, at times for a lot of people, but I got lucky, man. I got a really, really good one. She's very kind, very generous. My kids, she came over last night for 5 minutes, and Bo just got back from soccer practice. And she's like, okay, I love you guys. I'll see you on Saturday. And Bo's eyes just filled with tears. And I'm like, what's the matter? He's like, I don't want Gaga to leave. Like, they just adore her. So that obviously helps. And so, yeah, happy birthday, Susie. We love you. And I'm sorry that you married a Dodger fan. She did. My father-in-law, Scott, who's the greatest guy of all time, is he's a Dodger fan. So now I call her a Dodger lover. And Hannah says she's not a Dodger lover. She's a Dodger lover lover. And I said, there's shades of gray there.
Dodger lover squared.
Filthy Dodger lover. She's not a Dodger lover. She's a Dodger lover lover. I said, all right, I guess I'll give you a little pass there.
That
today.
Is fair.
But happy birthday.
Traditionally, over the years, better with moms or dads?
Me?
Yeah.
I've never had my first wife's dad had passed away, and my second wife's dad had passed away. Maybe that's a character. Maybe that's something seeking. I don't know. Deep psychological scene here.
Interesting.
But I always, you know, Ben, you knew Lauren. He probably wouldn't have liked me, but then I would have grown on him.
You definitely would have grown on him, yes.
Yeah, for sure. I think, like I grew on her.
I think pretty quickly, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would have gotten along with him, but I get along famously with my father-in-law. So I do okay with both, but I think I've always been better with
moms.
I mean,
you never would have bonded over his, you know, his farming love of the earth side, but he also had a wicked sense of humor,
yes.
And I think you would have appreciated that. He would have appreciated yours, and you guys would have done really well.
I think so, too. I think so, too. And but I think the moms, I've always done better with moms.
Yeah.
Because if you're a dad,
like, I think
If you're a dad and I come knocking,
you
like,
know why.
You know
what's
this,
going on.
This will shock you, but the moms and dads always really loved me. The girls weren't necessarily quite as into me as the parents always were. I really could win over parents quite easily.
I swear to God, dude, if you had a daughter and Ben showed up, you're like, and you look up to the heavens and you're like, what did I do? Thank you so much, Jesus, for blessing me. I mean, come on. He's a dream.
I don't necessarily think it actually helps you when both the parents are saying, you should really see this guy more often.
Oh, it kills you. It absolutely murders you.
At that age, it really is not any points in your favor when the parents are completely on your side. So,
because I think when Hannah's mom, I think, initially didn't like me, that drove Hannah closer to me, you know? So it was a good move. So thank you for that. But, man, that is so, so good. Mr. Buddha Wolf is in our chat. And this is funny. The Dodger fans are having a rough time. They don't know what we do. So he said just now, why are y'all streaming? You lost a couple of days ago. Buddy, we're a radio show. We're on the radio.
5 days a week.
5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Right here on 97.3 The Fan. You can find it on your FM dial. There's an Odyssey app. But you found us on YouTube. We're not a podcast, buddy. We're an actual radio show that also streams what we do.
Technically, we don't have to talk about the Padres
at all. We can talk about whatever we want.
For 4 hours. Talk about whatever we want every single day of the week.
He liked to shout out. Shout out, Mr. Buddha Wolf. I still want to do a Dodger fan spelling bee. If I can get 4 or 5 of you together to call in, I want to do a Dodger fan spelling bee. And I'm going to start with words like lose and things like that. You know, sack. How would you spell sack? How would you spell lose? What if I said they are? How would you contract that? What does that sound like? I really, really want to do that. The other guy yesterday, Dino, was like, these guys only have 6,000 subscribers. I'm like, buddy, we're not a YouTube show. We're a radio show that goes on YouTube. So you gotta, if you're gonna run the smack, you gotta know what you're talking about. We're not just a podcast or a YouTube feed. All right.
I think most of our audience is aware of that. But welcome to the newcomers for sure.
I do
want you can see.
Trust me, we joked about only being a Padres show. Like,
yeah. I do want to do...
Season ends, like, all right, we'll see you guys in February.
That would be great. If we were just off now until fantasy camp, would be the best thing ever. I want to set up the Dodger fan spelling bee and crown the king of the Dodger fans.
Can we do that at the holiday extravaganza?
In a heartbeat.
Get them down here.
Dodger fan spelling bee. You have to wear your full gear, and we know
you
will.
Put signs around their neck like they do in the real cell with like their number and everything.
Literally nothing would make me happy.
How good of a host of a spelling bee would Ben be?
Oh my God. And I'll be the one that just talks smack the whole time. I want to do this. I want to do Dodger fan spelling bee at the Christmas and holiday extravaganza.
I mentioned the holiday extravaganza because now that baseball season's wrapping up, that's kind of the next big thing.
Yeah, no question.
On the Ben and Woods docket.
Yes.
Got to start thinking about that.
Got to start working on that. Don't forget, somebody's got a birthday coming up very soon. We will not be forgetting it this year as we did last year. All right, so we got we have a show today that we're going to do for the next 3 hours and 45 minutes. Had an article that came out yesterday that was really interesting and I think thought-provoking that I'd like to discuss. And let's go.
Absolutely.
Let's get after it.
We'll set the menu when we come back and off and running on a Thursday, a roundtable-free Thursday.
Oh,
remember Silver Linings?
Man,
Silver Linings from earlier in this week?
I love it.
There's the one for Woods today. Just a four-hour show with Ben and Woods. We'll check traffic with Kelly Danick, and then we will be right back here on San Diego's number one sports station, radio show station, 97.3 The Fan. Best wishes to Luis Arraez, National League batting champion. 3 straight batting titles for Luis Arraez, who posted on his social media accounts, underwent thumb surgery yesterday to repair the torn ligament that he had been playing with since, I believe, June 25th. I don't think maybe we appreciate enough the fact that he won a batting title with a torn ligament in his thumb. That's not an easy injury probably to play through, especially to bat through
against
major league
yeah, man.
caliber pitching.
Sure.
Guys are throwing, you know, triple digits with nasty stuff.
A sinker in on your hands.
With wooden bats that, you know, are going to sting over and over and over again. So
You saw it. You saw it if you watched it all this season. You know, it seems like the ones maybe he barely ticked or the ones he swung and missed on, he would do the let go. You know, you're like, oh, my God, I bet that is so painful to go out there and try to battle through that every day. Dude, it was, I don't know what the future holds for Luis Arraez, but the guy's in there. He's got his arm in a cast and still does the half heart on his head, which was just the sweetest thing. And wrote a really nice note about how much he enjoyed being a Padre. And, you know, Donovan Solano did the same thing.
I saw that as well, yeah.
Yeah. It's, that's not something that, I saw a lot of Padre fans saying, this feels different. You know, this is a lot of guys really, really loved their time here last year. So, I can certainly understand wanting to run a lot of these guys back and do it again.
That's one of the topics as we set the menu for the show today a little bit later in our 7 o'clock hour. I think we'll talk about Luis Arraez, his value, whether the Padres should be exploring a long-term contract, some sort of extension. They do control his rights for one more season, but we'll talk about that. In our next segment, I do want to get into something I threw in our promo yesterday after you left, Woods, and that is what the Padres' starting rotation is going to look like next year, minus Joe Musgrove, who, of course, is on the mend himself following Tommy John surgery in the early stages of recovery. But, you know, reportedly everything went well, and, you know, he is targeting a return, obviously, by 2026. But they're going to have to get through next season without Joe. So, you know, beyond Dylan Cease, Michael King, and Yu Darvish, presumably, what does the rest of that starting rotation look like? Are there any targets the Padres should be looking at in the offseason? So we'll talk about that coming up at 6:35 this morning. Obviously, we'll get into Game 3 of the National League Championship Series. Last night, the Dodgers now taking a 2-1 series lead. Rob Manfred getting more and more excited by the day as his lifelong dream of the Dodgers-Yankees World Series gets closer to fruition and reality. And as much as we would like to think as diehard baseball fans, as Padres fans who watch baseball in a smaller market, that it shouldn't matter, that if the teams have good players and good stars and play good baseball, shouldn't matter what cities they come from, it does. You know, ratings are through the roof, and one of the reasons is you have two New York and one Los Angeles team in the playoffs, and ratings have been extremely good for Major League Baseball this postseason, including the Padres-Dodgers game, which were setting, you know, recent records for most viewership for a division series. So, yeah, they're not dumb. You may not like Major League Baseball's, you know, commissioner's office and some of the things they do. They're not dumb, though. They know what drives the needle when it comes to TV viewership, and they have to be pretty pleased with what they're seeing right now.
Yeah, I would imagine. I would imagine they are.
Make no mistake. They'd rather have the Yankees than the Mets as
correct.
The New York team.
No question about it. No question. Yankees are I would say, well on their way. But
it's not just strictly market.
No, Mets-Guardians doesn't do nearly as much for them as Yankees-Dodgers, or even Yankees-Mets, I think, is like the number 1B in their desire for the matchup that's going to bring in the most eyeballs.
Yankees-Mets pretty much wipes out the West Coast.
A little bit.
You know, I mean, there'll be some watchers, but I think if it's Yankees-Mets, you know, I'll watch. I love baseball. I can't get enough of baseball. I will never not watch baseball, no matter who's in it. You know, if it was Royals-Marlins, I'd be watching it like crazy. I love it. I love the playoffs.
It is strange. I've found myself watching less once the Padres got eliminated.
Yep.
Maybe just needing a break a little bit. It's different. If the Padres finished in fourth place, never made the playoffs, I'd probably have watched a lot more playoff games, especially the NLCS, the ALCS. It was a gut punch.
I can't say it doesn't sting when I watch. It stings, but I look at the television and I go, well, what are my options right now? What am I going to watch? But it always falls back to baseball for me. I am a fan of the game, and I love big moments. I love watching teams, you know, dominate, except for the Dodgers. Even they absolutely dominated last night, which was kind of a boring game. But yeah, I mean, unless you're a Dodger fan, it was kind of a boring game. And there's been a couple of those in this round of the playoffs so far. So hopefully we get some exciting baseball in the next couple of days. You'd love to see the Guardians be able to scratch one out, get back. You'd love to see the Dodgers tie or the Mets tie that series and see, you know, make these things go 6-7 games.
Yeah, I'm with Woods. I've been watching, but I understand what Paulie's saying. When your team is out of it in, you know, August or September, you kind of stop paying attention to your own team a little bit, and then by the time the playoffs roll around, you're ready for some meaningful, exciting baseball. When you are just inundated with meaningful, exciting baseball for months and months, including the playoffs, which ramp it up even more, when that's taken away from you, the other games don't feel as meaningful and as exciting anymore.
Sure.
Like they would if your team had been out of it for a while.
Unless you're a big hate watcher, like I am, and I love to hate watch. So it's actually, it's almost sometimes better than watching your own team because you can still go to bed at night and you're not filled with anxiety all day long. You know, it's like, ooh, let's see these two teams beat the crap out of each other. And make no mistake, I'm not a Met fan either, man. Some people in their fan base and players on their team, I absolutely loathe. So it's been interesting to see, how it's been managed. And, you know, always interesting to see what stars step up in the postseason and which ones don't.
It's a Throwback Thursday, which means we'll play Real or Fake for a concert prize coming up at 7:10. That's our original game from the very beginning when we would give away prizes. We played a little Real or Fake. It is a Padres-themed category today. You'll have an opportunity to call in and win coming up at 7:10. Those Orville Peck concert tickets. Don't do this at 7:20. In the second half of the program, it is still Thursdays for Eno Saris throughout the postseason. We'll get our Smart Baseball segment with the Athletics' talented and brilliant writer, Eno Saris, who's joined us each week throughout the season. Talk about the playoffs. Paulie's got headlines in the Rindle Report. We will bring back our football threesome now that the Padres' playoff run is over. You've got a Thursday night game tonight. We'll look ahead at the weekend in the NFL as well.
So ready.
Completely ready.
Totally. 100% ready.
But we'll start.
Set your fantasy lineups.
We'll start. I need it. I'm playing you in fantasy
this
week.
Me v. Ben this week.
I looked at my lineup and I go, bye, injured, and I go.
I thought you had a GM that was running your team.
I thought I did too. I mean, I need to speak with my general manager about
hot seat.
Your son.
About roster preparation for weeks, especially big games like when I'm taking on Woods.
Right.
That I want to make sure I don't have a bunch of projected zeros in my lineup.
Unbelievable.
We'll start, though, by looking at the Padres' pitching rotation for next season. We'll do that when we come back. It is Thursday. It's Ben, Woods, and Paul. We're very glad to have you with us this morning on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Well, clearly, you never want to lose a key starting pitcher for an entire season. So Padres are, you know, their work is cut out to try to replace Joe Musgrove. I will say, though, as we kind of dive into what the pitching rotation looks like, in my mind, it's not a horrible year to have to pick up maybe a free agent rental for a year with the names that are going to be on the free agent market or expected to be on the free agent market. There's some options out there. There's internal options. There's also external options for the San Diego Padres and what that pitching rotation is going to look like, Woods. We're going to discuss it here coming up. This segment of Ben and Woods is brought to you by the roofing professionals at Extreme Roofing of San Diego. Mother Nature is unpredictable, and so is the San Diego rain. Don't wait until your roof suffers damage. Call Extreme Roofing of San Diego to prepare your investment from catastrophe. Schedule your roof inspection now, 619-334-ROOF, 619-334-ROOF, or online at extremeroofs.com. That's roofs, not roofs, is the plural of roof.
Is it roofs?
Yeah.
I thought it was roofs.
No, it's roofs.
Roofs. Like
roofs.
Hooves.
Roofs.
Hooves.
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 It behoofs you.
No. Behooves.
It behooves you.
Yes.
But it's roofs.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
All right. We'll come back and we'll talk about the Padres pitching rotation right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. So, Woods, let's start with the known, and that is presumably the top three in the Padres pitching rotation coming back. Yu Darvish, who's still under his long-term contract extension. Dylan Cease, who has one more year of arbitration remaining and team control. The same as Michael King, who is coming back for one more season of team control. I would imagine, yeah, given A.J. Preller can do some things that are unexpected and unpredictable, but I think the plan is that those three guys will be fronting the Padres' starting rotation next season.
Yeah, I think that that's fair. I think the only one that you may be able to look at potentially being moved in the offseason is Dylan Cease. It's not that Dylan Cease isn't a good pitcher. It's not that I don't like Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease has some value. He is 29, Ben. I would say he's at the top of his craft right now. Obviously, we did not like what we saw from him in the postseason. Was a real, real disappointment. That's nowhere near enough to be able to cut a guy loose. That said, is he a guy you want in your rotation for the next 7 years? And I do feel like he will command some sort of Joe Musgrove-esque type, you know, maybe more deal. And I don't know that the Padres should dole that out to, you know, another guy that's going to be 35 when his contract ends.
If they are only going to extend one of the two Dylan Cease and Michael King.
It's Michael King.
And I tend to agree with you that Michael King is probably the priority. You'd be foolish not to at least listen for offers. With
a guy who's
going to be a free agent at the end of the year, and if you don't have serious plans to bring him back, well, what value could you get from another playoff contender that is desperately in need of starting pitching? And there will be teams like that out there. Again, there are a lot of options on the free agent market as well, so I don't know if teams would be willing to fork over, you know, young pitching, talented prospects, but Dylan Cease is a premium strikeout guy in a league that values strikeout type pitchers, and he's that. Now, the Padres value it highly as well. I expect him to be in the Padres starting rotation likely at the start of next season, but you have to at least acknowledge the possibility that AJ Preller could take phone calls and, you know, Dylan Cease could be someone who's discussed. So,
well, the value that he brings, Benny, obviously, he made every start, made 33 starts last year for this team that needed it. His ERA was 3.47, which these days, bro, that's fantastic. Threw a no-hitter, we know that. Struck out 224 batters. That's all great. This organization, I think, you look at what other organizations do and how they handle their business, and it's more of it's the big boy moves that we've talked about. Like, as much as you like him, as much as you think, you know, maybe you should bring him back, he's going to cost so much cash. And I believe he's a Boris guy as well, if I'm not mistaken. So he's one of those guys where you're like, I can't pay this guy $25 million a year for the next 5 years. It's probably not in the budget, and it's probably not the smartest thing to do. But you could absolutely start him in the rotation, Ben, and see what happens. You know, here's another thing you could do. You could just pitch Dylan Cease all year and let him walk in free agency. You could get 220 innings out of Dylan
Cease
and let him walk. That doesn't make you're not.
We've seen the Padres do that with other pitchers and players before. And since they
doesn't make you a bad guy.
Since they expect to be playoff contenders, it's not even the worst strategy. But you do have to at least look and see, you know, potentially what a market might be. So beyond those three, the internal options, I think you have to start with the two guys who were the internal options this season, Matt Waldron and Randy Vasquez,
sure,
as your kind of first two in-house guys that you'd be looking at to making more starts. Matt Waldron, who, of course, was so valuable for the Padres for several months of the season, kind of ran out of gas, you know, was not part of the rotation except on the last day of the season when he came back. I don't know what the what it looks like, you know, next season for Matt Waldron. I would like to think that he can come back, and if he can be the pitcher that he was for the better part of 2024, then absolutely there would be a place in the starting rotation for Matt Waldron. Do the Padres trust him? Do they trust that knuckleball that, you know, he can use it in the right mix and right percentages to get major league batters out? If he can, then yeah, Matt Waldron could be one of those guys in the starting rotation.
And what can Matt Waldron improve on, you know, next year? The stuff that I heard from Matt Waldron from them and from guys like Joe Musgrove, we talked about this a few weeks ago, them telling him, bro, you belong. You're good. Like, we're counting on you. You're throwing huge innings for us. Like, and Matt Waldron saying he never really felt like he was elite or belonged. Like, what can he work on in the offseason to get better? He seems like a guy that is willing to do whatever it takes. So I have no problem, man. Again, knowing full well our roster on August 1st is going to look different than our roster on April 1st because of who our general manager presumably will be. Have a ball, man. Let's get it figured out. That's what the early part of the season is for. You're not going to be the only team that's figuring out your five-man rotation, you know, at all. You still got Brito. You still got Vasquez. You've got, you know, there's always the potential of doing something different with Morejon. You know, you still have arms. And what you were able to accomplish this season should give you a lot of trust that they'll figure it out at some point. And if you're not getting the job done, you're not going to be on the team.
I think clearly with Waldron, you know, dialing in the knuckleball, you know, as consistently as possible with no spin, letting it do its thing. You know, you will have some inconsistent results, as any knuckleballer does, but they want him to up the usage of that. If he's going to be in the rotation, they don't want him to be a 20% knuckleball guy.
Like a 70%.
They want him to be a like 50, 60, 70% knuckleball guy. You know, maybe
be it all the way, right?
One secondary breaking ball pitch, if you can add a little sharpness to, you know,
to a sweeper or something,
and be basically those two guys with, you know, an up in the zone fastball to keep guys honest every once in a while. Yeah, that's, I think, the path to the most effectiveness for Matt Waldron.
I am down to load Waldron's cauldron again and see what happens. And because, again, when it was on, and when he hit that little streak, not little streak even, the really solid run that Matt Waldron had for this team was so beneficial and so kept us so afloat and above water and in it. You know, this season does not look the same without Matt Waldron in it. It just doesn't. So I think he did a great job. People suggesting stuff in the chat. Sure, man. Fire away. Sean Reynolds to the rotation.
Let's start with Randy Vasquez, because
okay.
I think he's option 1B at this point. He did a lot of good stuff. You know, inconsistent, but he is a pitcher who is kind of heading into his prime now at like 26. Showed some good things at the end, you know, when they needed him to make some spot starts. Last start was really, really good at the end of the season. He needs to continue to develop, but Padres have done a good job with Ruben Niebla of continuing to develop pitchers. And if he makes at all a step forward, he's absolutely a viable starting rotation member as well. So just with those, you've got a five-man rotation. Now, you need more than five over the course of the season. So, yeah, who are some of the other guys that are currently on the roster that you could project? Sean Reynolds, you know, I don't know how many innings you could ask out of that guy as he transitions from being a, you know, position player to a pitcher. I see him more as a bullpen option. Adrian Morejon clearly has done starting in the past in the minor leagues. You could once again think about trying to, you know, stretch him out and make him a left-handed starter, although I think he has a lot of value as a left-handed reliever at this point for the San Diego Padres. I look at a guy, Brian Hoeing, as someone who already has pitched multiple innings. Does he have enough of a mix to face, you know, the lineup three times through and be a starting pitcher? I'd imagine that is also part of the discussion right now of in-house options for the Padres.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. Did you pull up a list of potential free agents?
I did.
Okay, let's hear it.
All right, so it is actually a pretty deep list. There are enough guys out there that I'd be surprised if the Padres didn't land on at least one or two. At the very top of the market, you know, the big time looking for a big free agent contract guys will start with Corbin Burnes. You've got Gerrit Cole, who's going to be hitting free agency and looking really sharp.
He's got an opt-out.
This is according to Baseball America. These are who they expect will probably be free agents based on what they imagine. Some of these, like Blake Snell, is on their list, another potential opt-out guy, but expected to opt out.
Scherzer, Verlander, Gerrit Cole, Blake Snell at the top.
Max Fried.
5 years ago, it's a really, really good class.
Max Fried is... They have Scherzer at the like 25th to 30th on their list, you know, as a potential, you know, late season rental. But Max Fried, Freddie Peralta, Jack Flaherty, of course, was a, you know, a rental for the Dodgers and expected to hit free agency. I would imagine they'll try to lock him up. Another trade deadline guy, Yusei Kikuchi, is going to be a free agent. Nathan Eovaldi, who was so good for the Rangers in their World Series run not that long ago.
There's arms, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of arms.
I mean, this is, you know, if you want to go deep, Sean Manaea, who's coming off a looking to cash in off a really great season for the Mets.
Walker
Severino,
Buehler.
Walker Buehler, Michael Wacha could opt out again from his contract.
Martin Perez.
Nick Martinez, if you're looking for old friends and reunions, could opt out of his contract. Jeez. Shane Bieber, if you're looking for guys coming off injuries.
That worked with Ruben before.
Bounce back seasons. Jordan Montgomery could opt out again, or he may just opt in and keep his money with the Diamondbacks. Robbie Ray is a former, Cy Young Award winner, right?
Yeah.
Merrill Kelly, really good pitcher. I mean, there's a lot of names on this list. Injury bounce back guys like Frankie Montas. And then, as you mentioned, there's also, you know, one-year guys, Lucas Giolito, Michael Lorenzen, Jose Quintana, Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander, if they want to pitch again another season. There are plenty of names to go around. And that will likely drive down the prices on some of those guys. Now, you'll probably have to wait, you know, until February, until guys are getting a little bit desperate and going, all right, I think I need to take the best offer. I think the Padres are well positioned, though, in that sort of situation. It's an attractive place to go play. People like playing at Petco Park. And if you're
pitchers
looking
like it, yeah.
If you're looking at a place like, hey, I'm going to go 1 year somewhere, rebuild some value. I know they've got Joe Musgrove coming back in 2026, but if I have a good season at Petco Park, good pitcher's park, got good defense behind me, got a good team to go play, and a good atmosphere in a great city, yeah, I think the Padres will be definitely an attractive destination for some of these free agent pitchers this offseason.
Some big names out there.
Absolutely.
And you know, not only the big names, it's the names that you can look at and go, okay, yeah, that guy could absolutely round out the back of our rotation. Or I just feel like, Benny, I don't know if you're like me, but I feel like there's probably going to be 10 of these guys sitting there looking for a job.
I think so, too.
You know what I mean?
I've
like,
seen that.
Like when spring training starts, if you could be, you know, if you have a target and you want that you – don't think you're going to have to overpay for it. Obviously, you're going to go get it, but it does get, you do get the feeling there's going to be 5-10 starting pitchers, 5-10 decent relief arms out there as well. There's a ton of guys.
Yeah, after like Corbin Burns and, you know, if Blake Snell opts out, you know, after they get their deals, Max Fried and Freddie Peralta, I think there's going to be a lull then. You'll see like those deals probably. Winter meetings, you know, December, get those done.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be that dead period for like a month and a half where no one's going to overpay. Everyone's going to be kind of waiting out the rest of the pitching market.
Yeah, gun shy.
And then as, you know, end of January kind of hits and spring training gets closer, you'll start seeing guys signing and making decisions as we get closer to spring training.
You know, and the other thing that you could potentially look at is there's a few pitchers that did end up waiting to sign until late, and they didn't play well. They did not pitch well at all. So that kind of works in your favor if you're on AJ Preller's
side. Will there
side.
Be a Nick Martinez out there who just wants to sign quickly, not necessarily break the bank,
right.
But just know, like he did with the Reds. He signed. He was like the first guy to sign last offseason. And it wasn't, you know, a break the bank deal, but he just wanted certainty.
Get it out of the
he
way.
Didn't want to wait all offseason. He wanted to know where he was going, and he did.
Yeah.
And he made his deal. Could you sneak one of those guys in early? Possibly.
Potentially,
possibly,
yeah.
Potentially.
Satan's Blowfish, good question here. Is Snell going to get a good or quick deal? I don't know. He still remains to me the world's biggest enigma, and I would love it if he was in our starting rotation next year. But I don't know what he's going to command. I don't know what he's looking for. I got to imagine.
He's walking from 30.
He's walking from 30 because he probably wants four more years, right? Four to five more years. He really has an opportunity to get one more big contract. And same type of situation in San Francisco. Wasn't ready. Didn't have a spring training. Was pissed at Boris. You know, they waited too long and had a really crap first half of the season and then was filthy in the second half, as he usually is.
I think I saw it's probably a Bob Nightingale tweet after Snell dominated in the second half of the year. Like, well, not going to have any trouble getting that free agent deal this year.
Are you sure?
He was literally the Cy Young Award winner
Cy Young.
last year, and he had trouble getting a deal. And now a year older. I don't know if Blake Snell is going to have trouble getting a deal or not. I don't know what has changed between last year and this year. He didn't prove anything other than what he had already proved.
Yeah, he proved that, like, when he's on, he's one of the nastiest pitchers on the planet.
But he's also probably going to get off to a slow start.
Do you have?
And can you weather that?
Can you mitigate the slow start with getting him into spring training? Like, if I'm AJ Preller and I have the money, and I want Blake Snell back, I'm making that call. When does free agency start? When can we make the call? After the day after the World Series?
5 days after
Five days after the World Series. Yeah. I say, Blake, we want you back. You'd love it here. Let's go. Because you got to get him in. You got to start putting him through the paces now. The longer you wait with Blake Snell, the worse it's going to be in the first
Still
half.
Still has Scott Boras as his agent.
Oh, does he?
I don't think he replaced him. So I don't expect a discount deal off the top of the market.
Is he a half-season starting pitcher if you get him in and get him in early?
All right. Lots to discuss. We'll continue next here on The Fan.